Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 37 degrees, light winds and overcast. It's Tuesday, March 27th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Forward funding for the Sitka schools and decisions on two high-profile tax issues are on the agenda for tonight's regular meeting of the Sitka Assembly. The Assembly will wrap up a conversation it began earlier this month about the possibility of pledging some advance money to the Sitka School District. Because of state and federal legislation, the school district won't know its full funding picture until after its budget is finalized. Assemblymember Tor Christensen brought up the idea of pledging some money that the district could use if it finds itself strapped for cash later in the year. Christensen was recused from the discussion against his will by Mayor Cheryl Westover, who argued he had an extreme bias on the issue. Christensen's wife is a teacher in the district, and Westover said he cited a conversation with her in coming up with the forward funding idea. The Assembly also will discuss changes to Sitka's sales tax code. One proposal would change the way the fish box sales tax is allocated. Another proposal would limit the senior citizen sales tax exemption only to low-income seniors. Both plans have come under fire from members of the public at previous meetings. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. inside Harrikin Centennial Hall this evening. Raven Radio will provide live coverage. The Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery will go on two-hour notice beginning at 11 a.m. this morning. Two-hour notice means when a fishery is called, officials will give the fleet a minimum of 2 hours to get into position. In general, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game waits to call an opening until the percentage of mature roe is above 11%. Two test samples were taken yesterday. A sample from Alakina Bay had 7.9% mature roe, and a sample from Mountain Point on Kruzoff Island was at 8.9%. Sitka Sound Sacro herring is one of the state's most lucrative fisheries. There are 48 permit holders. Beginning today, updates will be broadcast on VHF Channel 10 at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Information is also available on a recorded hotline by calling 747-1009. Students from two local high schools are working together to raise money for a school on the other side of the globe. Students from Sitka High and Mount Edgecombe High School want to raise nearly $60,000 to benefit a girls' school in Afghanistan. Shanti Friedman is on the student council at Sitka High School. She says the particular school they're working to improve needs resources badly.
It's a real basic education if they are able to go to school. The school itself is just bare walls and like even some windows are missing, and they have desks and like chairs or benches to share. And they have not that many supplies. They like work out of like one book.
The students were made aware of the situation in Afghanistan by a visit last fall from Julia Bowles. She's the founder of INE Education International, which builds and supports schools in Afghanistan. The money the students in Sitka hope to raise could provide enough for more than 200 additional girls to go to school. Mamie Claire is a student at Mount Edgecombe High School.
It's going to help build 4 classrooms and equip them with like desks and supplies. And also, it's going to make a literacy center for the women of the town, too, and provide safe transportation for their teachers.
Education of young women was forbidden in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. That's changing now, but girls still have trouble accessing education. The school Sitka is supporting is in Karagujila, which is still under some Taliban influence. Friedman says the students are holding a few events to raise the money they need, including a basketball game between teachers from Sitka and Mount Edgecombe High Schools.
I think it's going to be a game for fun. I know that a lot of the teachers are not going to be experienced in basketball, even though there are some that are probably going to be pretty good.
The basketball game takes place on Friday in the Mount Edgecombe High School gym. The students are also planning a Facebook auction and a movie to raise money for the school in Afghanistan. You can link to more information through our website, kcaw.org. Anglers fishing from charter boats in southeast Alaska will have a little more leeway for keeping halibut this year. NOAA Fisheries announced this month it is putting in effect a reverse slot limit for charter halibut anglers. As recommended by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, charter anglers in Southeast Area 2C will be able to keep a halibut up to 45 inches long. They'll also be able to keep a halibut longer than 68 inches. Julie Spiegel is a spokesperson for NOAA Fisheries.
That will help charter halibut fishers in Southeast Alaska, gives them an opportunity to retain a trophy fish, which is an important component for many of their business plans.
Charter clients still can only retain one fish a day. That restriction's been in place since 2009. Last year, for the first time, charter clients were limited to fish no larger than 37 inches. Heath Hilliard, executive director of Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, says the reverse slot limit is a significant improvement from last year's one fish 37-inch limit.
Initial reports from a number of our operators have indicated there has been a fairly positive response from Lower 48 anglers in particular. And I say Lower 48 because compared to our counterparts in South Central, somewhere in the neighborhood of 90% of our business comes from the Lower 48 anglers. So, but yeah, I mean, long and short of it is people the anglers are showing a significant amount of interest in the relaxed or changed management measure.
Federal fisheries managers have restricted the charter catch in an effort to keep within a guideline harvest level set for the fishery. That guideline harvest level could eventually be replaced by a catch-sharing plan adopted by the North Pacific Council. That plan would allocate halibut harvest between the charter and commercial fishing fleets. It would also include management measures for the charter fleet to prevent overfishing. NOAA's Julie Spiegel says the catch-sharing plan is still in the works.
NOAA Fisheries continues to move forward with a catch-sharing plan for areas 2C and 3A, and so we're working with the council on that to address public comments on the proposed rule for the catch-sharing plan, and we're seeking council advice on how to proceed with agency review of the plan.
For 2012, charter clients in Area 3A, South Central Alaska, have the same limits as last year, two fish a day, without any size restriction. 20 young environmentalists from around the state gathered in Juneau last week for the 12th Annual Civics and Conservation Summit, sponsored by Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. The week-long conference teaches teens about the legislative process and how to talk to lawmakers about their issues. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Fresh king salmon on the grill is one way to get legislators to your event in Juneau. Not that the Alaska Youth for Environmental Action needed much help at a reception across the street from the Capitol Building Thursday. The young conservationists, ages 13 to 18, spent most of the week meeting with lawmakers to promote AYEA's legislative agenda. Emily Breeze is an 18-year-old senior at Tri-Valley School in Healy. This is her second year attending the Civics and Conservation Summit.
Last year was just life-changing. You just don't realize how much of a difference you can really make, how much you can really be involved in the process, and how much it means to the representatives when you come and you sit down and you talk about the issues you care about.
Early in the week, the teens split into groups and choose the bills they want to urge lawmakers to support. Breeze's group worked on legislation that would ban certain chemicals from being used as fire retardants in household products sold in Alaska. The chemicals are known as PBDEs.
Polybrominated diphenyl ether, so it's a mouthful. It was chosen because I think a lot of people don't know about it, and it's these toxic flame retardants are used in everything, your electronics, your furniture, your upholstery, and they are shown to have medical effects, thyroid, reproductive, and possibly carcinogenic.
14-year-old Barrow High School freshman Jonathan Nelson worked with his group to promote a bill that would require legislative approval for large-scale sulfide mining activity in the Bristol Bay watershed. It's an attempt to slow down or stall the controversial Pebble Mine project. Bristol Bay is a long way from Barrow, but Nelson says the mine's effects could be felt around the state.
A person from, like, New York hears that a fish in Alaska got mercury in it. He's not going to say it's only Bristol Bay. He's going to say Alaska. And that's going to basically tarnish the whole entire salmon name in Alaska.
For Nelson, attending his first Civics and Conservation Summit included an important lesson about the realities of the legislative process.
The only sponsor for my bill, SB 152, is Hollis French, Senator French. We went and talked to him. He knew that the bill wasn't going to pass.
Senator French says that's just the way it goes sometimes in Juneau.
You know, we may have had a frank conversation about it, and it's probably not going to pass, but it's an important conversation starter. It's important for them to know that they have people in the building who are willing to advance ideas that may not always get there, but you have to have the dialogue, you have to have the debate, and so I'm proud to be a part of that.
French, along with Senators Bill Willikowski and Gary Stevens, were honored as AYEA's Legislators of the Year on Thursday. Willikowski, who sponsored the bill banning PBDEs, says he was impressed by the students' knowledge of the issue.
They knew what they were talking about. They had done a lot of research. They asked me some very pointed questions about it, which showed they had really been studying it.
Willikowski's bill is currently in the Senate Rules Committee, usually the last stop before legislation goes to the full Senate for a vote. Senator Stevens was honored for working to reestablish the Alaska Coastal Management Program. That legislation is currently working its way through the House. Other bills supported by AYEA this session include Senate Bill 3, which would provide state matching funds for the federal school meals program, and House Bill 100, which would ban genetically modified fish in Alaska. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
House Majority Leader Alan Osterman says there's very little support among House lawmakers to suspend the state motor fuels tax. Since 2010, Governor Parnell has pitched a two-year suspension of the 8-cent-a-gallon tax as a way to ease the high fuel prices Alaskans pay. Critics of the plan say the tax generates millions of dollars for roads, and cutting it doesn't guarantee that savings would be passed on to consumers. Zone weather forecast today, cloudy, slight chance of rain, highs around 48. This is KCAW in Sitka.